Once you received Jesus as the Lord of your life, you were engrafted into God's royal family. You are a child of the King, and the authority of the kingdom is within you. Before you can exercise your kingship, you must have a revelation of your royalty. In this new series by Dr. Bill Winston, you'll learn that you are a speaking spirit, and everything in the universe must adjust itself to accommodate the words you speak. Why the church is designed to be the most powerful institution on this earth. Why you cannot rise any higher than your confession, and much more. Here's Pastor Winston with Revelation of Royalty Volume 2, There's a King in You.
Verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him, and has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. All right, we are talking about understanding our divinity. Understanding our divinity. And this particular topic that we're on now is called Revelation of Royalty. It's number 5 teaching under that subtopic, Revelation of Royalty. Now, this particular teaching today is designed to elevate your thinking. Elevate your thinking above your old image. To elevate your thinking above your old image. Now, as I say some things here today, realize that they might be the first time you ever heard anything like this. And if it is, realize that you're going to have to chew on it a while. Are you following what I'm saying? And when I first heard it, it rang true in my spirit. But I didn't really have a revelation of it yet. That I had to work with it a little while to start getting a revelation. And I'm still getting revelation of it. And this is how far you and I had fallen because of the curse that came into the earth, Adam's disobedience. But I found that this is what we're going to have as a revelation if we're going to go back to where Adam was and take charge of this earth. And that if we're going to advance the kingdom of God, that we're first, before we transform the world, we're going to have to be transformed. See? Before you change somebody else, you got to be changed. And this is what we're going to have. Now, this is not some weak, watered down Sunday go to meeting message. We're in a war here. And there are people that have been losing the fight. And God has sent us out into this earth, and we're part of what he's using, or the people that he's using here, to take back this earth, to take the rulership over this earth. That's part of the anointing that is on our lives. And so we got to do this. So to do this, we're going to have to hear something that's strength, got some strength to it, and something that we can place in our hearts and meditate on that will give us a real representation of him. Meaning that God has called us and given us a divine nature so that we can represent him. Represent him. Now, represent. Rep. Re-present. We got to re-present him. So that's what you and I are going to come here to do. Now, for this, what we're doing now is coming into a place where we're finding out if we're going to do this, we're going to have to act like God. Now, let me tell you something. This is not an intellectual message. This is not, don't be trying to reason this out. Because I can tell you right now, you're going to lose. The kingdom of God is a mystery. Now, mystery is something beyond natural comprehension. So you can't reason this out. God made it so that's why he said, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But he has revealed them to us through his Spirit. You can't reason this out. I mean, I can give you something, but the Spirit of God's going to have to give it to you, because the things of God can't be taught. They got to be caught. You follow what I'm saying? I'm saying in the natural. You can't teach this. You can't get this downtown at the local whatever, because it doesn't come that way. It comes by revelation knowledge. And revelation knowledge is a higher degree of knowledge than natural knowledge. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. This is me now, and I'm going to say it. I didn't get the Joseph School of Business from information. Now, you follow what I'm saying? I'm saying there is a revelation that's needed to take us beyond where we are right now. That, think about it, if you're down in information, you're down there with the devil. And he knows more about information than you do. And the only way you're going to get the body of Christ forward is you're going to have revelation. Because that is up above him. Say amen to that. The Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that if the devil had known what he was doing with Jesus when he crucified him, he never would have crucified him. And the reason why he didn't know it is because Jesus wasn't operating on information. He wasn't operating on anything you could reason out. If you could reason out God, you can get to God without Christ. You can't reason him out. And what we need to do is we need to stop this. Thank God for education. But education is just the beginning. If you're not spiritually educated, then you are still right there in the reason area and you can't go any further. I just got a new tape on George Washington Carver, a history. The History Channel had a whole presentation on him, and they were showing him how he went out, because he came to Tuskegee and they didn't even have a laboratory for him, let alone laboratory utensils. So he went out and got an old piece of baling wire here and got an old piece of glass here, so forth, and began to invent. God began to show him things. Now, I'm just telling you, none of that was cause of reason. What was his desire? His desire was to relieve the economic oppression of the South. Now, you follow what I'm saying? I'm just saying, hey, a desire that I have is to relieve suffering from human beings all over the world. If we can not only get them saved, but get them into something that would produce income, produce jobs, produce legacies, produce so and so. That's revelation. And a lot of God's people, because God has given you gifts in your own areas. You know, the reason why he gave you that area is because you're supposed to dominate. The reason why he put you in that neighborhood is because you're supposed to own it. The reason why he put you, come on, in this city, you don't need to go to another city. You can be a millionaire right in the city that you're in. Say amen to that. I'm talking about people go to places, well, that's a small town. I can't have a church, but so big in there. Oh, you kidding me? I've seen God that had gone to a small place, and the next thing, their church outgrows the town. Why? Because God knows why he placed you in a place. But he's going to use you to demonstrate and represent him. And that's what you and I've got to do, folks. What we got to do is we got to stop this thing. Now, I'm telling you that because the church has been full of organized intellectualism. And what we got to do is go further than that. The natural mind is fine. Don't check your mind at the door. Bring your mind on in here. But the point of it is if you want to go further, you got to get it from God. Say amen to this. Are you following what I'm saying here? So this piece that I'm introducing now, I am not anti this because we give students awards for graduating in schools and so forth and so on. But that's why I believe in the last days that the Christian schools or Christian education or something, because it integrates everything with Christ. Are you following what I'm saying? Now you're exposed to revelation knowledge. Glory to God. Folks, we need to go further. The world is in a mess. They don't know what to do about gas crisis. They don't know what to do about health care. They don't know what to do. And what they're doing is they're thinking of their solutions. And I'm telling you right now, it's the wisdom of men. It is earthly, it's sensual, and it's devilish. It's going to lead to another crisis somewhere down the line. But if he can just raise up some believers that can think like he thinks, come on now, we can come up with something. Praise God in heaven. All right, now, so let's do something here, because I got to shift your thinking. We got to shift our thinking in this thing, and we're in the process of doing that now. So we left off last time about, we were talking about taking charge. In Isaiah 51, we talked about planting the heavens. Let's do a little bit more with that. If you will, go with me over to Genesis chapter 1, please. Genesis chapter 1. Folks, I didn't get that bank out of information. I got it from Revelation. Say amen. And do you know to make it happen, we had to do it God's way? You know what I mean? God told me, he said, take it and make it so that the people of God could invest in it. Well, you look at most of the people of God, most of them broke. And what happened, they have been, they ain't not knowing anymore. But what happened is now you got the stock, bring it down to a price that everybody can afford. Are you following what I'm saying? And so forth. But notice that took a long time. You know what I mean? It took a while. Say amen to this. And I didn't think of that. I didn't think of doing it like that, because if it were left up to me, I'd try to find five boards with deep pockets and ladies and say, hey, this is a deal here. We going to do something with this. Boom, done it. But God wanted something else. And I don't know what all God has planned, but I know this. I didn't know he had this mall planned till I got across the street. Say amen to that. My point to you is, I'm open to the Holy Ghost. He's the one that's directing my path. He's the one that's talking to me. Now, I'm talking to somebody this day. I don't know why I'm staying on this piece right here. All right. Now, look at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Say created.
Created.
All right. Created doesn't mean he made something out of nothing. What it means is he made something out of something you couldn't see. Got it? And what you couldn't see was something called faith. It's the substance of things hoped for. Come on. The evidence of things not seen. So God created the heaven and the earth out of faith. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be what?
Light.
And what was there?
Light.
What was there?
Light.
Light. So God said, light be, and light was. Are you with me?
Yeah.
All right, let's go all the way over here to verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God said, underline God said, let us make, no, I just told you underline. Let us make man in our what? Image. Now that's the exact duplicate of kind. Let him make it like we are. And after our what? Likeness. Now is God a creator? Then he created a creative being. We are creative beings. We can make something out of nothing. Nothing means nothing you can see. So we can make something out of nothing. And the way God did it is he spoke it. And when he spoke it, it came out. And what was in him that was unseen became seen. Say amen to this. All right, look what it said. Let them have what? No, dominion. But after our likeness. Likeness means that we're going to operate just like God. And then he said, and let them have dominion. That means to rule it, to control it, to manage it. It means to own it. It means to have authority over it and take charge of it. Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing, every what? Creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God gave mankind dominion over all the earth. Are you with me? Stay with me now. Revelation of royalty. God gave mankind dominion over the whole earth. Now, God now blessed man in verse 28 and told him, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. So now in verse 7 of chapter 2, God goes a step further. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living, come on. So man became a living what? So man became a living what? So now that living soul, you could put, he became a speaking spirit. So when God breathed into man, he became a speaking spirit. Are y'all with me? So now God has this man who is a creative being who he's given charge over the whole earth, and now he's made him a speaking spirit. Now, God, the Bible says in John chapter 4, 24, is a spirit. Now, he as a spirit spoke to this earth. And when he spoke it, the earth obeyed him. Natural things are controlled by the more powerful world of the spirit. All right? So now, here's Adam. He's got a body, he's got a mind, and he's got a spirit. Now, let's find out who Adam really is. Look here at verse 18. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone, or one. I'll make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call him. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name. Whatever Adam called every living creature, that was a name. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there's not found a helpmeet for him. Now understand, he's taking this thing further. He's moving it further. So he's not operating in information. He's operating in direct revelation. God is speaking directly to his spirit. Now we're about to find out how God can do that. Let's go over, if you will, and let's go over to 1 Corinthians and chapter 6. Let me know when you get there. Verse 17. But he that is joined to the Lord is what? Come on now. Come on with me. He that is joined to the Lord is how many? Not two. One. Let's go on down here to verse 19. What? I like that. What? Know ye not that your body is the what? Temple of the who? Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your what? Own. For you are bought with a who? Price. Therefore glorify God where? In your body. Keep going. And in your spirit. Keep going. Which are God's. Now I want you to see something here. God, through the Apostle Paul, is providing the church with a revelation. He's providing the church with a revelation that there is a difference between your body and your spirit. That these are two different things. and your spirit is not your body. And your body is not your spirit. And these two are separate. Now, it's interesting what the scriptures bring out. Jesus said in John 6:63 that the body profiteth nothing. Now, this is what you got to see, because we have been operating so long out of the natural, out of the body. And the only thing we've heard in schools is body and soul. There is no school that you've heard some instructor talking about your spirit. If it is, point it out to me. The man knows something. Now, my point to you is there is a difference here. And that God has, when he was speaking and causing things to come out, causing order to come out of chaos, he was speaking out of his spirit. And everything else was obeying him. Are you following what I'm saying? So now he's made you and I like him. But when Adam fell, Adam lost a revelation of those two existing. And so now what happens with a fallen man, if you start talking about the spirit, then he kind of loses track. And so what happens is he ends up reasoning everything. And as long as you listen to reason, you better hear me now, derived from your senses or your natural processes, you will never believe the word of God. You will never walk by faith. You will not see faith triumphs, and you will never give God credit for anything. Now, I'm telling you, this thing that happened with this bank, God did it. I didn't do it, God did it. But you know, somebody might have said that was going to happen anyway. Are you crazy? No, I don't mean that. But listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying the devil never would have let us have that bank. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'm just saying this that we're talking about here, the schools that you're in, it's a revelation. It's not, it didn't come by information. God told my wife and I, she spoke to us, told us to build this business, this Bible school before we even got started with the church. We incorporated, go back and look at it, we incorporated the Bible school. But where did it come from? Came from God. How about the business school? That came out of fasting and prayer and long fast, so forth. And I'm praying and meditating on Isaiah 48:17. I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, that teaches thee to profit and leadeth thee by the way that thou should go. Whoa, all of a sudden, one day, boom, here comes the Joseph. I said, whoa. Now, it doesn't matter what it is. I'm just saying here that we're going to move this thing along, because we got to advance the kingdom. We got to represent God. All right, now we're dealing with something now. Go with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And look at verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. Let me tell you something, folks. The devil hates me. I'll tell you right up, straight up. He hates me, hates my guts. He hates my guts because I'm ripping folks out of his hands. He hates my guts. Watch this. He hates my guts because I don't have to bow down to any man. Come on. He hates my guts because I love everybody. I'm telling you, he hates you if you got revelation knowledge. He can't stand you. Why? Because you're about to move the church forward. Say amen to this. Folks, how long are we going to go around this mountain? How long are we going to have the same problems that we've been having since my grandmama and them had church? Say amen to this. Lord, the church ought to be in a place now that we are the money managers of the world. The church ought to be in a place now that we occupy the key positions in politics. The church ought to, I'm telling you, this is where we're supposed to be. But something ain't been preached. And I'm saying somebody gonna have to preach it. Somebody who can believe God for their own money. Lord say, he'll try to cut your money off, but he can't cut mine off because I ain't on his system. I'm on another system. All right, let's just look at this. Y'all still with me? Look at verse 27. Now, what am I doing? I'm building in a revelation of your spirit and your body being two different things. Because what has happened is we haven't dissociated that. And because we haven't, there's a place that you can't get to. So we're talking about, in this case, revelation of royalty. We got to reign in this earth. We got to do some things in this earth. Now listen at this. Look at verse 27. Now I know this is not a message for everybody. I know this is not a mess for everybody. There are people that are broke and want to stay broke. And let me tell you something. I am tired of trying to pull people into a place of blessing, into a place of peace and joy who don't want to go. If they want to stay back there, I'm going to let them stay back there. You know, even in times of slavery, there was always a slave that told a master when a slave break was going to take place. You know what I mean? There was always somebody who wasn't really for you. Say amen to that. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to preach it whether they like it or not, in season and out of season, whether or not you come on now. And we're going to do this thing because God's going to raise up some people. I ain't talking about no people with all this and all that and been to all the schools and everything. I'm talking about them people that ain't been to no school. I'm talking about them people who've been catching a bus most of their life. Say amen to that. I'm talking about people whose car won't hardly start out there now. That's who I'm talking about. God's going to take the foolish thing and he's going to confound the wise. Because there's some people who think just because they're smarter than you, just because they got more degrees than you, just because they live in a better neighborhood than you, they think God's going to give them more than you. But God is not honoring the neighborhood. He ain't honoring your degree. What he's honoring is your faith. And if you ain't got none, you better go get some. This is what it's going to take in this last hour. Sit down. Let me finish this. The devil is a liar. We going up. Verse 27. Look at it. I'm telling you, folks, I'm tired of dealing with it. I made up my mind on that trip. I said, I'm coming back and I'm going to tell the truth. And I said, you know, I'm going to tell all of it. You know what I mean? You try to hold back a little bit because you don't want to offend some people. You don't want some people to walk out. You don't want some people to look at you cockeyed and so forth and so on. But I don't care how you look at me no more. I don't care if you get up and walk out and don't never come back. I don't care if you, come on. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the truth. You done heard a lie long enough. You need the truth because that's what's going to make you free. Sit down. Let me finish this. The devil is a liar. Say amen to that. I ain't no punk preacher. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to give it to you straight with no chaser. Look what it says here in verse 27. But I keep under my body. This is Paul talking now. But I keep under my body and bring it into what? Subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a what? A castaway, or I'll be lost myself. Paul said, I keep under my what? My what? My body. My body. My body. My book. My book. I keep this book in my life. Are you following what I'm saying? And see, I keep under my body. I tell my body what to do. I tell his book what to do. I'm going to turn to this page right here because I'm telling his book what to do. Same thing about your body. You got to tell your body what to do, because if you don't tell your body what to do, it'll take over and tell you what to do. It'll tell you what you got. It'll tell you how far you can go. It'll tell you what you can have. It'll tell you how far you can go up. And let me tell you, don't let your body tell you nothing. Let the book tell you something. Because the Bible said, glory to God in heaven. I feel like preaching now. I keep under my body. Paul didn't say I put it under. He said I keep it under. You got to keep that rascal under. Say amen to that. For that body want to go out and do something tonight that you don't want to do. And don't let the body take you out there if you don't want to do it. Put it under. Tell the body to shut up. You ain't getting nothing tonight. Ain't no cake for you tonight. So shut up and just be quiet. I'm going to bed. Say amen to that. And that's what you got to do to this body. If you don't do it, that body will tell you, I want some cake. I want some ice cream. I want a banana sundae. Ooh, this sounded good to me. I want some. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. What am I saying? Two different things. You're a speaking spirit. Your body profited nothing. See, the other people can't say that because they don't have no revelation of it and their spirit's not born again. Yours is. Divine nature. Function just like God. Speaking to things. You're a speaking spirit. You're a creator. You can create things. If ain't nothing there, speak something there. Say amen to this. Now, this is going further than your natural mind. Your natural mind ain't made for this. But the only thing you can do is renew your mind to this. Come on now. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to teach you these things. Say amen to this. So, body of Christ, come on over there. Come on over to 1 Corinthians and chapter 12, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Y'all still with me? I ain't gonna keep you long. It's gonna be tight, but it's gonna be right. Say amen to that. You'd be surprised how many ministries are backing off the truth. You'd be surprised how many of them. They don't hardly baptize it anymore. They don't hardly fill people with the Holy Ghost anymore. Let alone lay hands on the sick and get them healed anymore. They don't hardly do it. Backing off. The devil will keep you backing off. Why? Because you think you're going to lose some people if you get too bodacious. You follow what I'm saying? Yeah, that's the enemy, see? And he's trying to back it off so that the church won't advance. But folks, what you got to do, when he come against you, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord going to raise up a standard against him. When he comes against you with something, it was somebody the other day, and they were backing off, and somebody had come against him and so forth. I said, hey, man, why don't you do this? He said, boy, that's a good idea. In other words, I gave him a plan to advance in the middle of Satan's attack. When Satan just shot his best shot at you, get up and go forward. Get up and do something he didn't plan for you to do. Are you following what I'm saying? You just gave $5 and he told you you're going broke, go broke. Put $500 in there. Say, now, take that. Now, listen, I know that's going to get you quiet, but I don't care how that gets you. I'm telling you what I did to get here. He'll try to back you up until you have no more desire to even go forward. Say amen to that. So I'm telling you right now, God has a plan for us and we're going to enter into it. But one of the keys is that you are a speaking what?
Spirit.
You are a speaking spirit. And this can come out of your spirit and do some things. Now hear what I'm saying. I love everybody, but everybody talking about heaven ain't going. And stop trying to drag dead folks around. God has signed off on those people in the wilderness, and he had told them, don't come to me no more, because you ain't going over. In other words, you just like dead folk. You are not going over. Don't ask me no more. I'm not taking you over. Joshua and Caleb are the only ones from this group I'm taking over. Don't come to see me no more. And so for you to try to take somebody over that God done told ain't going, then you dragging around dead folk. And I ain't dragging around no more dead folk. If God done signed off on you, I ain't pulling you. I'm going to just put the word so hard that either you going to come on board or you going to get out of here and never come back again. I feel my Cheerios today, Jack. You ain't gonna front me off. You ain't gonna make me believe by you walking out that I'm saying something that you don't like. Hey, let the dough hit you where the dough. Let it hit you. I am tired of trying to water this word down to please a lot of people that are so intellectual, or people who don't want to hear it because they've been in somebody else's church and they don't want me to preach the full gospel. Folks, we got to do what God's called us to do. We have to advance the kingdom, and the violent take it by force. An anointing up here. All right, let me finish this. I got a couple of strong things for you here. Say amen to this. Verse 27 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now you are the body of who? Christ. And members what? In particular. He ain't talking about no church role. Not talking about a church role. He's talking about members. My finger's a member of my hand. My hand is a member of my arm. My arm is a member of my body. People get dismembered. They get their hand or arm or something cut off. That's dismembered. He's talking about a body. He's not talking about no role. Talking about a body. So let's get off over here in this natural and body and get over in the spirit and see what he's talking about. Now, we are the body of Christ. Say the body of Christ. Now, if we are the body of Christ, I'm just telling you right now that we're members of that same body. Now, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Say amen to that. Amen. So in the church, one of the things on Sunday morning is one of the most segregated time on Sunday morning. Why? Because they're walking over there. They're walking in the flesh. They're looking at what color you are. What color you are? Come over here in the spirit and understand your body ain't nothing but a house, and your house happened to be painted that color. Say amen. And all of a sudden, now you can embrace your brother. Now you can embrace your sister. I don't care whether they're from Africa, Europe, Asia, don't make no difference. They are your brother. They are the member of your body. The eye can't say to the hand, I ain't got you, no need of you. That's what's happening. That's why it's so segregated. But that same thing and that same thinking is the thing that stopped the body of Christ from moving forward. Because you can't move forward. You can't play Satan's game and whoop him. His game is in the natural. You got to go on a higher plane. Come on over on the other side. Start speaking. Start walking like royalty. Come on, start telling the devil where you can, where he can go. Now that's what I'm talking about. That's why this is a church for all nations. Because I understand there ain't no black or white. I'm preaching better than you saying amen now. All right, now listen at this. We're going to finish. Y'all still with me? Every now and then I have to preach hard. You got to clean it out every now and then. Like I told you, I'm like X-Lax. I come to get you moving. You got to go. All right. I'm about to say something now. Watch me. Watch what I'm about to say. You with me? All right. Everything in the universe has to adjust itself to accommodate your words. Lord, have mercy. Did y'all follow that? Everything in the universe, Shandarabahasa, has to adjust itself to accommodate our word. Everything. Turn to Psalms chapter 8, please. Psalms chapter 8. I'm almost done. I knew y'all want to get to it, all right? Amen. See, y'all need this. You can't eat Twinkies all your life and get in a good fight and win. You got too much sugar in your system. You need some green beans, some butter beans, some turnip greens, some beets. Come on now, come on, say yes to that too. See, you need some stuff that's going to put some iron in there. And I'm serving up some tough stuff today. Say amen to that. I want you to leave this place ready to chew nails. Spit them out. I'm telling you, folks, I have seen ministries and they are backing off the gospel. I have seen people who's supposed to be financing the body of Christ. They are not doing it. They're letting the pressures of this world persuade them. And they say things like, hey, well, I'll take care of you next time. When that ship comes in, I'll take care of you. No wonder the ship ain't came in, because God has seen the heart of that individual and he ain't helping with that ship, because he knows if he brings it in there, it ain't going into the gospel. And what you got to do is commit to this thing. Said, wait a minute, I'm going to preach the full gospel, uncompromised, of Jesus Christ. Wait a minute, what I'm going to do is, Pastor, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take part of this that it comes in here, and I'm going to find it. It doesn't make how much it is. It makes the difference is your commitment to it. See, that's what he wants. He wants your heart. He wants people not to pimp God, but to take it and say, wait a minute, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to help with this. What do you need some help on, Pastor? Pastor, I tell you this. I did this. I said, brother, I said, how much money you want to make in a year? Oh, I want to make so many millions of dollars. I said, okay, all right, let me make a deal with you. I'll make a deal with you. If I pray for you, now God hadn't told me to do this ever since then. If I pray for you to make that amount of money, everything over that will you give to our ministry for the gospel? Here's what he said. Let me pray about it. Now, what's happening there? God revealed a heart. It's a heart, man. And you got people playing games in church. Their mouths saying the right thing and they busy. This is the day. Hearts ain't with you. And what you need to do is get all them out, because that's a rotten apple and it's going to spoil a whole bunch if you need. And preach that gospel hard enough that it'll either draw them or drive them. Preach it. I mean, preach it. Don't take nothing off of it. Wind up and put it in there. Drink you some protein drink like I just did, and make it so that you full of energy, Jack, and you ready to go. Say amen to this. Folks, there's supposed to be more money in the church than you can shake a stick at. Are y'all with me here? You make a pact with God. Say, God, if you do this, this is what I'm going to do for the church. But if you make it, you better keep it. Man, this thing is not supposed, we're not supposed to be in lack. Not the church. Not, we are blessed. Not cursed. And I'm putting it all out here. This wasn't my message at the last two services. I was a mild-mannered reporter. But now I done turned into the man. Let me just finish this. Look at verse 3, Psalm 8. When I consider the heavens, the work of the fingers, of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him or cared for him? For thou hast made him a little lower than who?
Angels.
Who?
Angels.
And hast crowned him with what?
Glory
and honor. Glory is anointing, honor is position. Verse 6, thou hast made him to have dominion over what? The works of thy hands. And thou hast put how many things on his feet? Now notice what happened. Man fell. Now God is prophesying. He's prophesying man's return to the top. He says he's coming back up. He's coming back to the place where you, all the things that God made with his hands are under man. And man, everything in the universe has to adjust itself to accommodate your words. Whether your words are purposeful or whether your words are rambling, whether your words are good or whether your words are bad, the spirit world takes your words that you've uttered as a command and as a mandate and begins to do something with them. Those people over in Numbers chapter 13, they begin to say, we can't go up and take it. We are like grasshoppers. In chapter 14, they said, let us return to Egypt or we're going to die in this land. What happened to them? They died in the land. What made them die? Their own mouth. Why? Because of the authority and the anointing or the power that your words carry. Now, whether you know they carry that much power or not, I'm telling you right now, you can know that. That is your, God wants you to use that because it's going to be key to advance the kingdom of God. Well, the kingdom of God functions on a higher plane. And also, I want you to go to one more place with me, please. Go to Micah and Micah chapter 5, please. Micah chapter 5. Let's just go there. Lord, have mercy. This planet is your responsibility. I said, this planet is your responsibility. God has made it so that you can change and rearrange this whole earth. Say, thou shalt decree a thing. And it shall be established. Say it again.
Thou shalt decree a thing.
Say it again.
It shall be established.
Say it again.
Thou shalt decree a thing. It shall be established.
Now this time, don't say thou, say I.
I shall decree a thing. It shall be established.
Say it again.
I shall decree a thing. It shall be established.
Say it again.
I shall decree a thing. It shall be established.
One more time. Now give praise. Micah. Are you with Micah chapter 5? Verse 1. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us, and they shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. Now that is a prophet Micah prophesying about the coming of Jesus. Where did it say Jesus was going to be born? It's right in the verse. In where? In Bethlehem. Turn over to Luke chapter 2, please. I told you everything in this universe has to adjust itself to accommodate your words. Now you're going to believe that before I'm finished with you. Folks, we can speak tornadoes and make them go the other way. Come on now. We can close things down and open things up by our spoken words. Look what it says in Luke chapter 2. Let me know when you get there. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be what? Taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth to Judah and to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, or engaged wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son. And he wrapped him in a swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them where? In the inn. Why did Joseph bring Mary back up to Bethlehem? Because a decree of Caesar was made and the whole world was affected. I'm trying to give you revelation now. Everything in this universe has to adjust itself to accommodate your words. He was a king and a ruler and knew it. He didn't have to carry it out. All he had to do is decree it. You are royalty. Oh, Jesus. And look what happened. Because he did that and it was taxed, everybody had to come back for the census in their own hometown. And they came back to Bethlehem, and his wife was great with child. And while he was there, she delivered. But what made him come back there? Caesar Augustus issuing a decree. But what made Caesar issue the decree? The words of Micah, a prophet. You are the prophet of this hour. You are the prophet of your own life. You can decree a thing and it shall be accomplished. God is making it so now that you're going to bring this world back in order. You're going to take charge, take command, and decree a thing and it shall be accomplished. There is no more powerful force than the spoken word of God. This planet is our responsibility. I don't know about you, but I'm taking ownership. Now, as soon as the declaration or the leaves your mouth, as soon as you decree a thing, it is done right away. All you got to do is believe what you say is going to come to pass, and you will have whatsoever you say. Now, the first step to that is stop thinking lack, stop thinking limitation, stop thinking poverty, stop thinking you don't have nothing to say, and start thinking royalty. Start thinking the fact of seeing yourself as God sees you. Here's the way he sees you. He sees you in charge. He sees you as a ruler. He sees you rich. He sees you superior. He sees you as a race of kings. He sees you as ambassadors. He sees you as an owner. He sees you as gods. Little G-O-D-S. That's the way he sees you. He sees you as his offspring. He sees you as a joint heir with Jesus. He sees you as children of the Most High God. He sees you as the righteousness of God. He don't see you some old rank sinner hoping to get to heaven when you die. He sees you as seated with him in heavenly places. He sees you as reigning with him. He sees you as special. There was a scripture I didn't show you last time, and it's in Zechariah chapter 12. Just look at this real quick. Zechariah chapter 12. I didn't show you this last time, and I meant to show you, and the Spirit of God quickened me when I left. Chapter 8 of Zechariah 12. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as who? David. Now you know how many people David slew and how what he did with Goliath. But look what it next says. And he and the house of David shall be as who? God. And an angel, as an angel of the Lord before him. God has big plans for you. The world says you can only go so far, do so much. Why? Because you might not have much education, much money. You might not have much inroads to such and such and such a thing. You've been divorced 5 times, so forth. Your racial background, whatever it is, got too many kids, whatever they want to say. But I'm telling you, that's the revelation of them having that 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. The first thing you had to do was break it. God is breaking the limitations off your life right now. They're all broke right now. Did y'all get something out of that today? All right. Now, hold on. Take a seat. Now, listen, I'm not a hater, so I'm not hating. But I tell you this, I don't like where the church is, what it has become. It's come a place where people come to argue about doctrine or argue about the carpet. He's come to plant. Instead of winning souls now, because this is what our first call is evangelism, is to reach out to people and say, get them saved, snatch them out of the fire to help people. And you and I have to do that. And what we have to do is we have to know who we are first. Because if we don't know who we are, we can't talk right. We can't think right. We can't believe like God believes. But God has chosen you for a reason. And many of you, when you first got born again, you might not have known all this was in there. But I'm telling you right now, I'm going to teach this thing. And I'm going to make it so that God's people, this is my dream now, that God's people will be so strong. So nowhere can the enemy bring sickness in your household. Come on. Nowhere can the devil bring lack and poverty to your finances. Not when you can say money cometh. Are you following what I'm saying? Folks, we ought to be able to speak a business and call it from over to New York and call it over here to Haiti. We ought to be able to, conduct the affairs of this planet. Say amen to this. Did you get something out of it? All right, now, if you will.
For more information, please contact us at 708-697-5000 or online at www.bwm.org. You are personally invited to our Sunday worship service at 7, 9, or 11:15 a.m. and to our Wednesday night service at 6:30 p.m. Central Time at Living Word Christian Center. We are located at 7600 West Roosevelt Road in Forest Park, Illinois. A warm seat of welcome awaits you at Living Word Christian Center. Until next time, keep walking by faith.